Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Abby, for that. Let's take our Word of God this evening. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And tonight, the title of the message is simply this: whose hand was on David? Whose hand was on David? Now, as we come to David in 1 Samuel, he was known as the man after God's own heart. But David, we know that he sinned against God in a great way. And yet, in his earlier years, the Bible says that it seemed as if Saul's hand was on David. In fact, Saul really wanted the Philistines to take David, to take his life. But whose hand was really on David? Let's read the text tonight, and we begin in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 5. 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 5. And the Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely." Would you notice that passage? "And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s.' And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, 'I will smite David even to the wall with it.' And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, 'Behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles.' For Saul said, 'Let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.' And David said unto Saul, 'Who am I, and what is my life for my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?' But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Mahilothite to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, 'I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.' Wherefore Saul said to David, 'Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain.' And Saul commanded his servant, saying, 'Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in her, in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law.' And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, 'Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?' And the servants of Saul told him, saying, 'On this manner spake David.' And Saul said, 'Thus shall you say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Now, the portion of scripture that I've just read to you, we find a lot of different things. We find the behavior of King Saul, and we find the behavior of David. By the way, do you know that you can tell a lot about people on how they treat other people? In fact, you can really tell what people think about God by the way that they treat others. In fact, we see here that David was a man after God's own heart, and David behaved himself wisely when he was out of the king's presence and when he was in the king's presence. You know why? Because the Lord was with David. And David walked with God, and David knew God. But Saul was a man who became jealous, a man who was envious against David. In fact, the scriptures tell us that the ladies would sing. I don't know the type of song that they would sing, but they ascribed unto Saul thousands, but to David 10,000s. And Saul heard that, and Saul thought to himself, I cannot believe that they are ascribing to David 10,000s and to me only 1,000. And the Bible says he's made this statement. What does David want? The kingdom? Well, that was already going to happen. You see, Saul became jealous and envious, and he didn't want people to think that his hand was upon David, because the Bible says that he feared David. He was not going to put his hand upon David, but he was hoping that the Philistines would take David's life. And even Saul picked up the javelin that day when the evil spirit came upon him, trying to pin David to the wall. But I have a question for you. Whose hand really is on David? Can I tell you, simply put this evening, that the hand that was upon David was not the hand of Saul, and it was not going to be the hand of the Philistines. It was the hand of God. Amen. David knew God, and God's hand, a blessing, was upon David. Brethren, let me help you understand something this evening. These two men testify by the way that they live, by what they think about God. Here is Saul. Saul is jealous and Saul is envious. A lack of faith, a lack of trust in God. And that's why he treats others with jealousy and envy. That's why he tries to execute what he thinks is vengeance upon David. But how does David respond to Saul? David, who knows God, and David, who walks in obedience to God, he responds to his enemies in faith and in love, not executing vengeance, not taking matters into his own hand. You see, what we believe about God comes out in the way that we treat others. You know, sometimes here we are getting ready to start school again. And I'm going to tell you, one thing that I always have to deal with kids is the way they treat one another. You know, it's surprising, but we don't have perfect kids at Victory Christian School. I just want you to know that. You know why? Because they're all of our kids, all right? And guess what? Kids are sinners. But you know what? Why do you have trouble sometimes with kids who bully other kids? Kids who are mean and make fun of other kids, it's because of what that child thinks about God. And if they don't have the right view of God, then they're going to treat people the wrong way. You see, David feared God So he was not afraid of King Saul. But because Saul did not fear God, he was afraid of David. Do you understand that the fear of God relieves us from all lesser fears? When we fear God, we will not fear man, because we understand that God is in control, as I talked about this morning. Brethren, whose hand was on David? It was the hand of God. But I've got a question that I want to ask all of us tonight, including myself. Whose hand is on your life? Do you know, just because you're a Christian does not mean that the hand of God, the hand of God's blessing, is upon your life. By the way, this is not just for preachers. By the way, there's some preachers that do not have God's hand upon their life. I do not want to be that kind of a preacher. You know something? I know of widows that have God's hand upon their life. They are cared for miraculously. God's hand is upon them. I know couples who have God's hand upon their life. You cannot explain what is going on in their lives without the hand of God. I know of young people that have God's hand upon their life because it is an evidence that the Lord is blessing them. Well, David was that kind of a man. And I want all of us here tonight to understand something. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are tonight, no matter the trials and the sorrow and the suffering, you can have God's hand upon your life. And by the way, there is nothing quite like of having the hand of God. By the way, have you ever met someone before that maybe you come in contact with them? You recognize the hand of God upon their life. You recognize the presence of the Lord upon their life. May all of us tonight desire to have God's hand upon our life. Because in David's life, whose hand was upon David? It was simply the hand of God. Brethren, let's make it simple tonight. Simply put, we either have God's hand, a blessing and power upon our life, or we do not. There is no middle ground. There is no, well, I sometimes have God's hand and sometimes I do not have God's hand. Either you have the hand of God upon your life or you do not. I want to give you three simple things that I pray that God can use tonight. Number one, we notice the foolishness of King Saul. Now, here's a lesson we need to learn from King Saul. There's lots of lessons that we can learn from his life. By the way, do you know that sometimes some people are examples of a good example, but sometimes people are examples of what not to do? Saul was the example of how not to live. How not to live his life. By the way, do you know there was a time in King Saul's life when he was humble before God? But there came a time, a point in King Saul's life when he refused to obey the Lord. And I believe that God removed his hand of blessing from his life. Brethren, what is the foolishness of King Saul? Well, the most foolish thing on earth for anyone to ever try to do is to play God and attempt to execute judgment on some other human being's life. And that is what King Saul did. Now, I believe all of us would love to play God at some point. We think we know better than God. We would like to think that God should bring judgment and God should do this and God should do that. But I'm going to tell you something, it's a foolish thing for you and I to play God or to attempt to play God. And an attempt to play God, it is foolish for us to try to get even with someone else or to bring judgment upon someone else's life, either by our words or by our actions towards them. That is how King Saul lived. Now, we understand that King Saul was very jealous of David. I mean, people were praising David and Saul hated it. But you know something? Saul could have had God's blessing upon his life. Saul, listen, he could have known the power and the hand of God upon his life, but instead, he became a foolish man. In fact, do you remember, even at the end of Saul's life, remember what he said to David? I have been a foolish man. And you know what? That was true. Saul was a very foolish man. In fact, Saul tried to manipulate the situation. By the way, it's very foolish to manipulate situations, to try to get your way, To try, and that's what Saul was doing. By the way, Saul said, well, David, if you go out and you kill 100 Philistines and bring me their skin of their forehead. That sounds like a blessing, doesn't it, to bring that back? But he said, if you do that, I'm going to let you marry my daughter. Well, you know what? It was manipulation. He was hoping that he would be killed by the Philistines. You know what David did? David brought back 200, you know? David brought back them and all their cousins, all right, or something, you know? David, here he was. He had God's hand upon his life. It didn't matter what David did. God was blessing him because David was walking in obedience and faithfulness to God. Then Saul said, well, you know, someone told me that my daughter, Michal, loves David. Now, boy, I tell you, what a dad thought so much about his daughter. He said, I'll give her to him because she'll be a snare to him. All right. Well, I'm glad he thought so well of his daughter, you know. And but Saul's whole life was manipulating the situation, wanting to attempt to play God, wanting to get rid of David, wanting to bring judgment upon David. Folks, can I tell you something? When you try to manipulate situations, when you try to bring vengeance, when vengeance only belongs to God, can I tell you, all of those tensions, intentions, are like a boomerang. You send it forth, but it's going to come back to you. In fact, what happened at the end of David's life? He was killed by the Philistines. When that was the very thing that he wanted for David, his own life was taken. By the way, you know something? When you and I get something in our heart toward one another, toward another human being that should not be there. Can I tell you what we start doing? We start living like King Saul. We start manipulating. But it makes us a hypocrite. In fact, look back in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 17. Look what it says. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Look what he says. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. He said to David, David, I got something spiritual I want you to do. I want you to go fight the Lord's battles. Folks, that's not what was in Saul's heart. He wanted David to be killed. You see, you know what happens when we hold bitterness and we want to execute revenge upon someone else for what they have done to us? And I'm sure that Saul thought that David had done something terrible to him when David had not. But let's say that we actually have something that someone has hurt us. Someone has wounded us. Folks, when you start acting like God, you start playing the part of God, and you want to bring vengeance upon them, I'm going to tell you something. You will manipulate, but you will become a hypocrite. Because really, the heart motive is you want something different. You know, can I say this to you tonight? Jealousy always destroys the vessel in which it is contained. Men, you may get angry at your wife and try to get even with her. Women, you may get angry at your husband and you want to try to get even with him. But I'm telling you something, all you're going to do is hurt yourself every single time. We see the foolishness of King Saul. I wonder tonight, are we living a foolish life? Well, we are living a foolish life when we are trying to attempt to play God. We are living a foolish life when we are trying to bring vengeance upon someone else. When God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, let God take care of it because it is His. In fact, I want you to think about that verse just for a second. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, He says, to me belongeth vengeance. In another portion of Scriptures, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Do you know something? You are taking something out of the very hand of God. When you are seeking to bring vengeance, you are in a sense trying to steal what is rightfully God's. Let God execute His judgment. Let God take care of things. Saul was a very foolish man. And by the way, we are foolish when we do not have God's hand upon our life. Number two, we notice the faith of David. David was a man of faith. Now, what does it mean to be a person of faith? It means that our confidence is in God. Our trust is in God. We are depending upon the Lord. In fact, one way that you can tell if someone is a genuine Christian with a heart for God is by the way he or she talks about people. Do you know that your tongue tells on you and my tongue tells on me? It tells everything. It reveals what is in our heart. But folks, you can tell if someone has God's hand upon their life by the way they talk about other people. And you know something? Saul, in his heart, you know what he did? He stirred up people about David. He lied about David to other people because he did not have God's hand upon his life. And he was afraid. By the way, it should do something for you a little bit if you are mocked and lied about and ridiculed, because really those are from people who fear you because God's hand is obviously upon your life and they are attempting to play God. David, his faith. David, and by the way, throughout David's life, you remember when David could have taken the life of Saul? You remember when they went into that cave with David's mighty men, and David and his men were in there, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon King Saul, and David could have killed him in that moment and been justified in every way. In fact, his men said, "David, come on, this is the opportunity." And they even said, "David, you don't have to do it. I'll do it for you." You know? I mean, David's men. But David said, "No, we will not touch the Lord's anointed. I'm going to let God take care of him." Can I tell you why? Because David had faith in God. Because the way David treated other people, the way David spoke about other people. Listen, folks, tonight, if you're the type of person that you are so critical of other people, it is an evidence in your heart. I'm sorry, but you're a hypocrite. It really is an evidence of a life of manipulation, a life that is not right with God because of the way that you treat others. In fact, you remember what John 13, let's take our Bibles and go there because I don't want you to miss this verse. John chapter number 13 and verse number 35. John chapter 13 and let's look in verse number 35. By the way, you know something tonight? You may say, "Well, Pastor, I have faith in God." That's great. But if you really have faith in God, you don't have to tell other people you have faith in God. They will see your faith in God. David did not wear a sign that said, "I have faith in God. I'm a man of faith." David didn't have to do that because people knew that David had faith in God by the way that he responded to others. In fact, do you know that God connects our love for Him and our obedience to Him by the way we treat other people? What does the Bible say? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Pretty interesting that God connects the way we treat others. In fact, John chapter 13, verse 35, you're there. And I want you to notice this very important verse. Well, let's look in verse number 34. John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Folks, do you know that a person's faith in God? David was a man of faith, but Saul was a man of force. Saul was a man that was going to manipulate. He was jealous. He was envious. And Saul was going to take matters in his own hands because he was not a man of faith. He was foolish. And folks, when we do not live a life of faith, we live and act foolishly before God. David was a man who had God's hand upon his life. And can I tell you something? It is our faith in God that is connected to His hand upon our lives. David's faith was demonstrated in every day that he lived. By the way, what does the Bible say? That David behaved himself wisely. Folks, can I ask you a question? Do you behave yourself wisely at home? Now, I say to people sometimes in our church, and it's just kind of a joke, I say to somebody, "Hey, behave yourself this week." And they're just like, "I'll try, preacher, all right? I'll try. You know, we're just kidding to one another. But do you behave yourself wisely? Because a man of faith and a man or a woman with God's hand upon his or her life is a person who behaves themselves wisely. Folks, do you know the way that you do your day's work on the job demonstrates your faith in God or your lack of faith in God? In fact, do you know that the way you respond to authority demonstrates your faith in God or your lack of faith in God? Do you know that the way that we treat our families demonstrates our faith in God or our lack of faith in God? The way we respond to our children, parents, demonstrates our faith in God or our lack of faith in God? You see, David was a man of faith. David was a man who feared God. David was a man who behaved himself wisely. And because of that, Saul feared David. It's interesting, is it not? But David's behavior towards other people was directly connected to his behavior toward God and his faith toward God. Folks, do you know that there are people, even in good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, who are living just like Saul? I mean, they have a good name in a sense. They might have a good testimony, but they do not have God's hand upon their life. They want to attempt to play God. They want to manipulate. They want to, in a sense, get even with other people. But it is foolishness in the eyes of God. We see the foolishness of Saul. We see the faith of David. But number three, we see the faithfulness of our God. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I want you to see something here. We come to verse number 28, the very end of this. And I want to bring this message to kind of a climax with the Lord's help. Folks, do you have God's hand upon your life? Do you? I pray, and I said it earlier, that I never become a preacher that does not have God's hand upon his life. I want the hand of God. Now, folks, your motive is everything. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you want God's hand upon your life? I think all of us would say yes. But why do you want God's hand upon your life? Is it so others will think well of you? Then you will not have God's hand. Is it so that you can flaunt your gifts and talents? Then you will not have God's hand. Is it so that you can appear to be better than others? Then you will not have God's hand. You know what, David? David had God's hand upon his life, but he never tried to steal the kingdom. Do you know that David did not lift one finger to become the king over the nation of Israel? David never did. In fact, do you remember when God's man, Samuel, came to anoint the next king, and God simply sent him to the house of Jesse. And Jesse had all of these sons, and I mean, they were fine boys, strapping, strong boys standing there. And even Samuel, the man of God, said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here." And God said, "No, I've not chosen him. No, I've not put my hand upon his life. No." And everybody overlooked David, but David was out somewhere tending the sheep. And David was the man that God chose because David had the hand of God. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. The hand of God's blessing upon your life is not limited to a few. It is available to anyone who is willing to obey the Lord, to abide in Christ, to yield themselves wholly and freely to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us in our church that we are men and women and young people who have God's hand upon their life. That's the question tonight. We come back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We see the faithfulness of God. Do you know something? The Lord was faithful to David. Now, what a thought that God was faithful to David. Now, we understand in verse number 28 that the Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually." You know why? Because God was faithful to his man. Folks, Saul should have been afraid of God, not of David. And when people fear God, they do not fear other people. You know why? Because, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Because of the faithfulness of God. If a man lives in the fear of God, walking with God, knowing that he's open and honest before God, a man of integrity before God, he does not fear being found out because God already knows everything about him. He does not fear others because he fears God. By the way, we look throughout the Bible. When Abraham was down in Egypt, the king of Egypt, you know what the king of Egypt said? We see that the Lord is with you. Do you remember Joseph when he was in the house of Potiphar? And Potiphar said, Joseph, we see that God is with you. And by the way, Potiphar said, it's good for us that you're here because God's hand of blessing is upon you. And in the days of David, the hand of God was upon David's life. Now, brethren, I simply want to say this to you tonight. If there is something in your life, and that something could be a lot, you know, it could be a lot. But if there is something in your life or in my life that crowds out God's blessing, and therefore we do not have the hand of God upon our life, we ought to run to God tonight and cry unto Him and say, oh God, forgive me and help me. For yourself tonight, for your own soul, for your own children, for your wife, for your husband, for your opportunity to pray, for your influence upon the lives of other people. If there is something in your life that is not right with God, it is not worth it to hold on to that thing, whatever that may be, and to not have God's hand upon your life. Brethren, I do not want to live and die without the hand of God. I'd rather die without His hand. But I do not want to go through life without His hand. You know what we ought to do tonight? We ought to come to this altar and say, Lord, cleanse me. And may Your hand of blessing be on me. Cleanse me so that I can be what You have created me to be, what You have saved me to be, and that the hand of the Lord might be upon my life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, this subject has just consumed my mind. And I want Your hand upon my life. Lord, I want Your hand upon this church. But God, Your people here, they're not my people, they're Your people. But Lord, I want Your hand to be upon their life. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, preacher, God has dealt with me tonight, and I'll have to be honest before God that there's some things in my life tonight that I know is keeping God's hand from me. I know it, and God has dealt with me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? I know, preacher, there's some things in my life tonight that's keeping God's hand of blessing from my life. Amen. And how many tonight would say, preacher, I want the hand of God upon my life? Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it high? That's what you want. Well, I've got news for you. You can have His hand upon your life. But will you seek Him tonight? Seek His face. Whose hand was upon David's life? It was the hand of God. Let's stand together.